We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 21, we're going to start in verse 6. Now, this isn't a passage I've ever really thought about or studied before the last couple of weeks. So let's start in verse 6. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. So tonight we want to talk about the watchman. We want to talk about what the watchman sees and the watchman's job. Let's go down to about the end of verse 11. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, and a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, A lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken onto the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma he calleth to me out of Seir. And this is the part I want to think about a little bit tonight. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? Isaiah is writing this around the time of the fall of the Babylonian Empire, 689, 690-something BC. Babylon being the major power that it is, Babylon holding all of the Jewish captives we read about in Daniel and other places as well, is under attack by the Assyrians. We think about the world today and we think about the things that are under attack. And we think about countries that are under attack. Even right now, we just saw pretty much the fall of Afghanistan just disappeared in a week and a half, 2 weeks, is gone as we knew it. Empires fall. And it's not a new thing. If we look at this story, Isaiah is speaking as he's prophesying, an empire is falling. An empire that is almost the cornerstone of the known world. Babylon is the place that knowledge is. Babylon is the place where order is. The big armies, where all the money is. Babylon is the place that comes crashing down, and all of a sudden the Assyrians are left standing in the rubble. And so it's against this backdrop, it's against this background of warfare and conquest and turmoil that Isaiah speaks these words. Isaiah is looking prophetically to the future and telling people what he sees approaching. It's almost like Isaiah is the watchman. Isaiah is the watchman looking ahead and seeing what's to come. We're not going to really go into too much about the prophecy itself. We're going to talk about it a little bit. But we want to look at the watchman himself, what the watchman means, and what the watchman is seeing, what his job is, and how we can use that today. If we look at our headlines today, there is so much turmoil. When it's quiet at work, I pull up the news. And if I would say the first dozen articles are all corona-related. COVID, this many victims, this place has had a hotspot, this is shut down for a few days, somebody's died, this person who had the vaccine is dead, these people want more vaccines, these people don't have enough vaccines. And there's so much drama that is rolled out before we even get to other world news. Afghanistan, we think about the things that China is doing. And all of this stuff creates so much turmoil in the hearts of not just the unsaved, creates turmoil in our hearts. We think, this is what's going to happen for my kids. When Paddy gets older, is he going to be able to come to church and just sit and listen to someone speaking? Is he going to be speaking English at that stage? Will it be a Chinese-Afghanistani hybrid? I don't know what's going to happen in the next 50 years. But things change. Things are changing. And as we look at the uncertainty of the future, we have, as Christians, well, we should have a stability to ourselves because we know what happens in the end. And that's such a blessing, to know what's coming. We don't know all the details. We don't know what the mark of the beast is going to look like exactly. We don't know little things, but we know, in the end, where we as Christians end up. We end up in the kingdom of heaven with God. And knowing that gives us the ability to calm down, to take a step and go, let's have a look at what's going on, like the watchman is supposed to do. So just like back in those days, there is a need for watchmen. There is a need for people sentries, sentinels, someone who is standing, and it's just their job at the moment to keep an eye on things. It's not the sentry's job to lead the armies out. His job is to protect the city that he's in, is to protect the things that he loves. We're living in the days when Satan is attacking churches. He's attacking churches openly in some places. It's more relaxed in other places. I mean, I don't think anybody expected before the pandemic started that Canada and Australia and New Zealand would be some of the craziest countries to live in with a pandemic. You would have thought Russia or North Korea, these places that already have strict rules, but it's the ones almost with the most lax people that were crammed down on the hardest. And part of that is our own fault. Part of that is we've become passive. As Christians, as members of the community, we've become passive. And the government knows that and they're willing to push things through. We're not talking about politics. That's just something that's not in my notes. That's free. Okay. Verse 6. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. So the first thing we see is the watchman and the mission that he has. It's outlined very plainly here in verse 6. Set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. In the old days, in ancient times, even in medieval times, they had levels of security. They had layers of security. We use them today. We use them today when you think about a bank. A bank has outer walls, and then it has inner walls, and then it has a vault, and then it has safety boxes in the vault. There's layers to the security. They don't put the gold bars just behind the glass at the front counter. They put them all the way in the middle. Back in these days, it was the same thing. They had layers of security. One of the layers was the walls themselves. Sometimes they had moats. One of the layers of security was the sentries. Today we might have guards, we might have security cameras, we might have dogs to guard whatever it is that we think is precious. Back in those days, the sentries were an important part. And if the sentry was weak, the city was weak. And they put the most important stuff in the middle. If you look at the way castles are constructed, they have the walls, they sometimes have a couple layers of walls, and then they have a keep, a place in the middle that keeps the royal family or whoever lives in the castle. This holds true when you think about through Scripture. You think about, where did Rahab the harlot live? She lived on the wall. She was not protected. She was the lower class. Didn't matter what happened to the harlots. They could live on the walls. It's not going to matter. But the king wasn't living on the walls. The king of Jericho was in the very middle somewhere, surrounded by guards, while he was being terrified by the people of Israel. The first layer is the wall, and the second layer is the watchman. He has as much of a function, if not more so, than the wall. The wall is a passive object. It just sits there. The watchman needs to be circumspect. We've talked about this word before on many occasions as I've been speaking, and just to go over it really quickly again, the word circumspect has the idea of having attention in every direction. A lot of times, the guards would be looking on the outside of the walls, where most of the attacks come from. Yes, it's true. But there were many, many cities that fell because a couple people snuck in, and they weren't paying attention to what was happening on the inside of the walls and what was happening in their own backyard. So let's look at the watchman and his mission. The first thing, the most straightforward, and you're probably going to throw hymn books at me, but the first duty of the watchman is to watch. It's not a difficult thing for the watchman to do. That's his main function, is to keep his eyes open. To keep his eyes open and to be paying attention to what's going on. To stand in the towers or on the wall, to scan the countryside for any signs of trouble. It was no use if the watchman was myopic and he couldn't tell if there was an army at the gate until they poked him with a spear. He had to be watching. He had to be watching in the distance, not just for an army, because that the army doesn't normally just appear behind the hill. Normally you have scouts. Normally you have little signs that an army is coming. You might see smoke in the distance. You might see, and this happened a few times in history, the glittering of armor in the sun. You see these little things in the forest in the distance. It's not saying, hang on, that's an army. Going, hang on, that could be an army. That could be an issue. We need to check on that. The first thing was, he has to watch. He would see the banners of war. He would see the clouds of dust as they were coming. It was almost never just all of a sudden an army appearing. So first of all, he has to watch. And as Christians, that's an important part of our job. As we guard our families, as we guard our faith, we need to keep an eye on the things in the distance. It's no use us being surprised when jackbooted stormtroopers burst through and arrest everybody. We've missed it. It's our job as Christians to go, what's in the distance now that could be a problem for us? What do we need to prepare for? What do we need to be praying about now? As we look at coronavirus, as we look at government crackdowns, there was a synagogue in Melbourne that was raided this week and they were handing out fines because they were celebrating, I don't remember what. There's talk in America of $14,000 fines if you don't do what they want. Those are things that aren't even on the horizon anymore. Those are things that are getting closer. And as Christians, as watchmen, it's our job to look at those and to see them for what they are. It was no use for a watchman, if you think about the Iliad and the stories of Troy, there was a giant horse that came all the way up to the gate. I don't know when the alarm bells went off, because apparently they didn't. The alarm bells never went off as this giant wooden horse got pushed up to the gate and everybody else left. They were terrible watchmen. As they looked at this giant horse, they said, oh, but that's a lot of fun. That's not what a watchman's job is. A watchman's job is to look for danger. And if a watchman was looking at that going, is there any problem with this? Could there be danger in this giant wooden horse that's just rolled up out of nowhere? A good watchman would have said, it's probably hollow. A good watchman would have said, is this a distraction? Check the walls. But nobody does that in the story. They go, bring it on in. That's just, obviously it's not a true story, guys. It's obviously. They were watching, but they weren't seeing. We need to be paying attention, and we need to be understanding what is going on in our world. It's no use for us to just be looking and going, oh yeah, that's probably bad. That's definitely bad. Well, I've seen it. So the watchman's first job is to watch. The second job of the watchman is to warn. The watchman needs to let people know when he sees dust in the distance. He needs to let people know when the giant horse bumps the gate. It's his job to report to the people within the walls when they ask if trouble's in the distance. A lot of the time, you need to understand as well, the first sign of an invading army isn't the army, it isn't the armor, it isn't the dust in the distance, it's the refugees coming in. It's the people going, my village got attacked over there, I need safety inside this walled city. So the sentries need to be watching, but they need to be discerning. They need to be discerning as to what they're looking at. It's no use having a quiet watchman. It's no use having a watchman that sees the enemy coming and goes, You need to have a loud voice. You need to be a warning. Isaiah 58, Isaiah says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Hosea 8:1 says, Hosea is told to set the trumpet to thy mouth. We all have different gifts as Christians. We have different abilities and different areas of better perspective and worse perspective. One watchman may miss something, another watchman may see. It's all the watchman's job to warn the other watchman, to warn the people inside the city. I think as Christians, we are guilty of keeping our warnings to ourselves sometimes. And we say, this could be a problem, I'm going to get ready. Or this could be a problem, I'll wait and see how it goes. And by the time it gets too close, it's too late. A watchman is no good unless he's willing to warn of the things that are coming. And if there was ever a time that we needed watchmen around our churches and our schools, Bianca was telling us about some of the stuff that Tyson is being shown, I guess, in public school. And it's stuff that you think, that doesn't belong in a school. It doesn't belong anywhere near a school with these poor children. The things that are happening in our world, if you look, is terrifying. It's terrifying, and not just to Christians. Normal people that aren't saved are going, hang on, this is some pretty weird stuff that's going on. We need people of discernment who know the Word of God. around our families, in our communities. The watchman is educated as to what is a danger and what is not. As Christians, we need to be educated as to what is a danger. And we need to be educating our children as to what is a danger. That's the beauty of having a Christian school like we do so close, that we can have people and kids learning at and understanding the truth from the lies, because it's just lies. So much of this stuff that the people are being taught. I listened to a podcast, and at the beginning of every episode, he says, "Welcome back and join me as we laugh our way through the fall of the Republic." And he talks about the issues that are going on, mostly in America. Talks about Australia a bit at the moment because it's so weird what's going on here. But for himself, he's almost at the point where he said it's going to fall. Our world as we know it is going to change. He's a watchman. He's a professing Christian. I don't know whether he's saved or not. But he sees his job as being a watchman, as being someone who looks and warns other people. That should be our job too, as Christians, warning other people of the things to come. And the beautiful thing of a watchman is it's not just the bad things that you see coming. As Christians, we see the good things coming. We don't just have to go, "Be careful, terrible things are coming." You can also go, "Get ready, great things are coming." And talk to people about the amazing things that are coming as well. Give me a second, I scrolled too far. This is the beauty of technology. The guy who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan. John Bunyan. I was going to say Paul Bunyan, but I think he was a folk hero in America. I think that's a different person. John Bunyan wrote another book about the city of Mansoul, the Holy War. And if you haven't read it, I would recommend it. He talks about a city that is not well defended, a city that is invaded. Satan is trying to invade each of us personally, our cities. He's trying to get in there. He's trying to change the way we worship, change our Bibles, change our hymn books, change everything about our churches. And you see churches that have let this in. You see the churches that had poor watchmen, who had watchmen who were on the take sometimes, watchmen who were on the other side and should have been warning, but were actually waiting for the invasion to happen so they could be part of the occupying force. God has been kicked out of our schoolhouses. He's been kicked out of some churches, been kicked out of our families, been kicked out of our government. There are so many places. In the Pledge of Allegiance in America, it says something like "one nation under God." And it's now okay to leave that part out and just say "one nation indivisible" or whatever it is. I'm not actually American enough to know what it is, but God is being pushed out slowly, slowly, as we can see, all through our lives. We need more watchmen in our worlds. We need more, not less. So first of all, we see the watchman and his mission. And then, let's go to verse 7, a watchman and his methods. Verse 7, "And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, and a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed." First of all, we see he was vigilant in his watching. So many cities fall because there are watchmen, but they're not paying attention. Their watchmen are on the walls, but it's wet, and it's raining, and they're uncomfortable, and they're cold. And so they huddle, and they huddle near the fireplaces at the corner of the walls, and they stare at the fire. You know the problem when you stare at the fire? Is when you look back into the darkness, all you see is the darkness. We used to read some stories, some old Western stories, and it always talked about the old grungy gunslinger, and he would sit with his back to the fire because he didn't want to stare into the fire, because then if he turns around and an Indian's going to pop him, he can't even see the Indian. Or other cowboy. Also, there was bad cowboys. All right. Just thought I'd put that in there too. Being vigilant in our watching. Like I said, the idea of walking circumspectly. Verse 7 says, he saw. He saw a chariot. He took care in watching, and he also took great care in noting everything that happened. He had a good, whether he had a good memory or not, I don't know, but he had good perception as to what it was. He could tell in verse 7 the difference between a horse and a donkey and a camel. I can tell a horse and a camel from a distance, but a horse and a donkey is going to be much harder for me. This guy had done his homework. He knew what these things looked like, pulling chariots. He took great care in noting everything that he saw. In verse 8, he says, "A lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower." Now, in my reading of this, he's comparing himself to a lion. He's saying, "I am guarding this. This is my area of protection. I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime and am set in my ward whole nights." This is my life. This is my job. This wasn't just something he did on the weekends to make some money for bowling. He was there. This was his thing. He stayed there. He paid attention. He was vigilant in his watching. He was in that place day and night. He didn't leave that post. 1 Peter 5:8, we know this verse, but if you want to write it down, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The word sober there, the word sober means to be calm, collected in spirit. There's no use having panicky watchmen. If there's a watchman who's a bit panicky and he's looking in the distance and he sees a flash and he goes, "They're coming! The Huns are here! Surrender!" And it was just, a kid playing with a mirror or something like that, that watchman isn't worth anything. He's not worth being on the walls. Being sober means that we don't freak out when somebody says, "Maybe the vaccine will be mandated." Or we're calm and we're collected when someone says, "Maybe they'll shut down churches forever." We have the idea and the knowledge that God is in control. Being sober. And then being vigilant, once again, means to be watchful, has the same idea as being circumspect. The idea is that the Lord's watchmen don't get caught up in the excitement of the times. If ever we're going to get caught up in the excitement of the times, it's probably pretty soon. There's all kinds of things happening. The world is changing. There's new governments forming. There's old governments falling. We know how things appear, but we also know when we see trouble on the horizon and we can deal with it. So first of all, he's vigilant in his watching. And then we see he's vigorous in his warnings. When he saw the trouble approaching, we talked about this a little bit already, he didn't keep the message to himself. He opened his mouth and shouted out the warning for everybody to hear. He told everybody that could see him what was coming. It wasn't like he just talked to his captain. Where was it? He cried, verse 8. He's yelling out loud, verse 9, "And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen." And he answered and said, "Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken into the ground." Sometimes as Christians we think there's actually not much use warning people anymore. We've given up. People have gotten too hard. People have gotten too used to the violence and the terror of the world. We had the anniversary of September 11th yesterday. Happy birthday, Cassia, but she's not here. A day of terror. A day when I remember I would have been 10-ish, I guess, when it happened. And I remember waking up in the morning and walking. And we lived in Melbourne at the time, lived in Victoria. And I walked out of my room and I saw my mum and dad already up and standing there. I don't know if they were watching a TV or listening to a radio or something like that. And I turned and mum turned around to me and her eyes were full of tears and she said, "Oh, Aiden." And I was like, "What did I do? This is bad." And it wasn't me. I hadn't done anything. But the world had changed. The world had changed while I'd been sleeping. And I remember that whole day at school, no work was done. There was nothing. Our teachers were talking to us and saying, "This is what's just happened." They didn't have all the details. They didn't know exactly, but they knew enough to fill a day telling us, "This is what's just happened. The world has changed." And as a small child, I didn't really grasp it. I knew something had happened. But in the time since then, We've gotten harder and harder when it comes to things like this. Terrorism happens more and more often, hijackings and kidnappings and beheadings on the internet. And we've gotten harder and we've got harder, and it becomes harder for the watchman to go, be careful, things are coming. When you go, well, you know what, it's already here and I don't care anymore. We feel protected behind our walls. And the watchman has a harder and harder job waking people up to the dangers that are here. But that doesn't mean you should stop. This man, this watchman on the wall didn't stop yelling. He yells about all the chariots coming, and then in verse 9 he's yelling some more. He doesn't shut up. He's going to tell you what's about to come. Whether you listen or not is up to you, but he's going to let you know you're not going to be caught off guard. He's going to give you all the warning that you need. That's what camp is about. Camp isn't about us dragging these children, kicking and screaming by their shoelaces into the kingdom of God. It's about warning them what's coming and giving them the option to get out. And just because they don't listen 1 year doesn't mean we should give up. Just because they don't listen one lesson doesn't mean we should give up. I gave a testimony a few weeks ago about a terrible lesson that I gave on Friday night. Nobody listened. Everybody yelled. I was very frustrated. I blew my whistle too much. I was hoarse at the end of it. And I thought, you know what? They're not listening. I don't know why I'm going to do this again next week. But I did. And I went back and I talked to God and I prayed and I went back. And the next week, they didn't talk at all. They listened all the way through. They had questions that made sense. They did the activity at the end. It was weird, and I was a little bit creeped out by how different it was 1 week to the next. But that's an encouraging thing. Just because we have a rough week, just because no one listens this week, doesn't mean next week someone's not going to come across our path that needs what we have to say. We talked in Sunday school this morning about the Ethiopian eunuch and about how Philip heard what he said and left. He went. He went to that part of the desert where nobody was, and there was a person. If he'd gone there the week before, it would have just been the desert. If he'd gone there an hour later, it might have been just the desert. But he was there at the right time. God brought someone across his path that he could be a watchman for, that he could say, this is what this means, this is what's coming. And the Ethiopian eunuch took all that gospel back to Ethiopia, and great blessings were had. So, he was vigorous in his warnings. What time we got? Okay. Then we see, let's go to verse 11. The watchman and his message. Verse 11. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire ye, return, come. He says, I'm full of information. Keep coming back. I'll keep telling you. He says, the morning comes, and also the night. So it's nighttime. He's like, it's nearly morning, but you know what happens after the morning? It's going to be more night. If you want to know more, come back. I'll tell you what comes after the night. He knew what was coming. Now, these verses here, from what I was reading, they're a prophecy against the people of Edom. We know about the people of Edom. They were the descendants of Esau, if I'm correct and remembering correctly. Yes. When the people come to call to the watchman in the end of verse 11, what of the night? What of the night? Some people, I read a few different opinions. Some people say that it's a question almost of sarcasm. Not caring, going, what's happening tonight? You've never been right before. Nobody's coming. Nothing's happened. We're safe inside the walls. What of the night? You know what? Why are you even there? Go home and go to bed. You can't see anything anyway. Get off the walls. It's easy for us as Christians to be discouraged and to get off the walls. It's easy for us to go, you know what, they're right. This isn't any good. No one's listening. I can't see anything. I'm getting off the walls. And as Christians, that's the place we shouldn't be leaving. The walls are where we need to be as Christians. The highest point that we can be at, where we can see what's coming, where we can see the enemy coming. The other thing that it might be is a question almost from a concerned heart. When's the morning coming? Is everything okay? What of the night? What's happened tonight? This is the questioner we want. This is the questioner the watchman loves. He comes past every night. What's been happening? What can you tell me about outside of the walls? Because, like we said before, Christians have different perspectives. Some Christians have the gift of prophecy, have a gift of looking at things and seeing where they may lead, have a gift of talking to people about it. Other people don't have those gifts. We need the people on the walls that are watchmen that can say, be careful, this is coming, and be excited, morning is coming. He speaks of three things, and then we're going to finish up. He speaks, first of all, in verse 12. The watchman said, the morning cometh. That's the best thing he could say. The night has been long. If any of you guys, and I'm sure a lot of you have worked overnight, it's a long, long thing. Did I give an example of this the other week, of me working one overnight shift? So when we moved to Gladstone, I'd looked for work and I'd applied all kinds of places, and there was a cleaning company that got back to me. I went and did an interview and they liked me a lot, and they said, look, we can give you this much money and we'll give you a work van. You'll be doing this and you'll be doing this and you'll be doing this. And I thought, I can do that for that much money in a van. He said, but tonight, it might have been tomorrow night. Anyway, very soon, we need you to work a couple night shifts. I'd never done a night shift before that. And I thought, yeah, I can do that. I can do a night shift. That's fine. So I showed up to where they told me to go, and it was a big shopping complex. Big shopping complex. They said, get there about 5:30 in the afternoon. All right, I'll get there 5:30 in the afternoon. So I show up, and this guy comes out to get me in a big raincoat. And I was like, why are you wearing a raincoat? And he says, all right, what we're going to do is, once all the shops close, is we have to clean the outside of this shopping center. It was winter. It was freezing. And we had one of those cherry pickers, escalator things, I forget what you call them, that we went up in, and I stood in that thing with a gurney, with a big industrial gurney and a raincoat, and sprayed. And I looked at my watch and it was about 8 o'clock. I was like, okay, it's going to be a very long night. And I was drenched and I was cold and I was tired and I was hungry and I was just a grumpy little person. And we worked until about 6 in the morning. A very long night, me being drenched the whole time. And I don't have any body weight. I don't have any body fat to keep me warm. We got to 6 o'clock in the morning, and we got off that lift, and I sat down. I think we had about a half hour break in the middle. They weren't slave drivers, but I got down off it, and the guy who was my boss for the night said, "Great, all right, go get a couple hours sleep. We've got another cleaning job to do before we come back to this one tonight, because we've got to do the other half." And I was like, "No, no." And I got in the car and I drove home and I never went back. I didn't ask for any money for that night's work. I didn't call them. I didn't say anything else to them. I was done. That one night, that was all the experience I needed for a night shift. It was done. When the morning came, when that sun popped up over the horizon and a tiny bit of warmth hit the back of my freezing little neck, I thought, the morning is here. The end is close. It wasn't as close as I would like, but it was close. The watchman looking, the watchman's had a night like me. He's been on the walls. It's been wet. It's been hard. He's been keeping an eye out. He hasn't been sleeping. He's been watching in the distance. He's been making sure he's awake. He's been drinking coffee every 2 hours. If he gets too tired, he sticks his finger too close to the fire pit and goes, "Eh!" And he's awake and he's watching again. And he's keeping awake and he's making sure. And the morning comes. The news that the dawn is there is the best news for the people in the city, because the attack hasn't come in the night. And when the attack comes in the night, it's the hardest to defend. I'll bet the people who asked him were glad to hear the morning was coming. The morning was here. As Christians, we have good news. We have good news to deliver to people who want it. The morning is coming. Yes, the end is near. The end of the night is near. But you know what happens after that? The morning comes. Jesus is coming back. Amen. The morning is coming. Right. Revelation 22:20 says, "Surely I come quickly." Jesus is coming. He's on his way. He also, though, next part of verse 12, "and also the night." After the morning, there's going to be another night. And if you know the book of Revelation, you know this is true. The rapture will happen. But that doesn't mean everything's hunky-dory here on earth. There's going to be another night. He speaks of another night coming, which is another warning. The undiluted wrath of God is coming. He gives these people two truths. He gives them, yes, the morning is coming, but also there's worse stuff coming as well. There are two things that are coming. But then, the end of verse 12, I love this. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. I have more information. I can give you more warnings. I can tell you what's going to happen in the morning. I can tell you what's coming the next night. There is great danger on the horizon, but there is still time to find out about it. There is time for these people. The message that they needed to hear was the message that things are coming. And that's what a watchman's job is. Okay, let's bring it down to ourselves a little bit more here. We are the watchmen. Whether we want to be or not, as Christians, we are the watchmen. The only thing for us to decide is what type of watchman we're going to be. We can be the watchman that stands up at the walls, looking out with his spear, not worried about how cold it is and how wet it is and how tired we are. We can be paying attention to what's going on and delivering the warnings. We can be the watchman that does his job because he has to and walks the route and checks the walls and goes, yeah, there's nothing there, and walks back to the fire pit and checks again. There's still nothing there. And most of the time it's more focused on just taking that next step, staying awake. I'm doing my job. I don't really care about it. Or we can be the watchman that huddles around the fire pit that goes, I don't care what's going on anywhere else. I want to be comfortable right now. I'm going to stay where I need to be. And I don't care what's out there. I don't care at all. The watchman can be like that. And often when they're like that, it doesn't just spell doom for that watchman. It spells doom for the city. Our church needs good watchmen. Our church needs people who can see what's coming on the horizon, people who look for the dangers, who understand what's coming. Who are willing to give an answer to every man that asketh. That comes to the watchman and goes, what's going to happen? We think about the Ethiopian eunuch. We talked about him this morning, and he's reading Isaiah 53 with Philip. And the Ethiopian eunuch goes, who does this man speak of himself or another? He asks the question, and the watchman goes, I have the answer. I have the answer to the question you have. He's able to talk to him, and the eunuch is saved and baptized because the watchman was aware and alert. Philip could have been a lazy watchman. Philip could have been a watchman who just wandered down to Gaza and saw the chariot and was like, it's probably not that guy, and wandered back up to Jerusalem. But he was a watchman who was circumspect. He was a watchman that had the answers to the questions. We are going to be asked as Christians, as watchmen, watchmen, what of the night? I get asked this at work in roundabout ways. Sometimes we look at the news, we see the scary things that are happening. People are going, are you going to get the vaccine? What's going to happen with the government? What if we get locked down? And all of these questions that come up, what they're asking me is, watchmen, what of the night? What's happening? What's happening around me? They don't know the answer because they're not the watchman. I'm the watchman on the walls. I've got a different vantage point. I've got a different viewpoint because I can see further because God has lifted me up. I can see what's coming, and I have the stability from God to look at stuff and analyze it and go, this is what's coming. When people in the world go, what's going on? It's because they don't know. They don't know what's going on. They don't know the end of the story. As watchmen, we know what's coming. We don't know, like I said, the details. But as the Christians in our workplace, as the Christians in our families, it's our job to be the watchmen. And when someone asks us, what of the night? We can go, like in the end of verse 12, the morning cometh and also the night. There's two things coming the watchman warns of. One is good and one is bad. And as watchmen, you don't get to decide what you see coming. The watchman just calls it like it is. As Christians, we need to be doing that too. Yes, there is good news. The morning cometh. And with that morning is another warning. There's also a night coming. And as Christian watchmen, it's our job. And I'm going to stop here. Let's pray. It's our job as Christians, who is a watchman, to look and go, the morning cometh, but also the night. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you that we can be here this evening. Father, help us to be looking at our scriptures, to be studying them for ourselves, to be reading, to be drawing closer to you. Father, help us to be the watchman that we need to be speaking to those who ask of us what of the night. Father, I pray you'd be helping us to draw close to you at this time. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.